Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. If you guys have questions for the professor, you can text those in to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Try to get to as many of your questions as we can before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Hey, I want to play you a soundbite and get your reaction to it. This is back in March. Bruce Arians being asked about Brady loving Antonio Brown and the idea of Antonio Brown playing there.
Tom has had an affinity for him because of his work ethic. You know, forget all the other antics, but just how he works on the field and in practice is top of the line.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There's
no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know if he says I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach. I just want to play with Tom. You still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
And now I'm looking at a headline: Source: AB working on deal to join Buccaneers. What happened, John?
Tom Brady looks like he won the battle, and we'll see if it's going to work. Now, what's going to be interesting if it does turn out to be a minimum salary deal. You know, remember, they just had to restructure a contract of Ali Marpet just to be able to fit in the Steve McClendon trade that they just made. And so, and it could be like we're seeing so many players now this late in the midseason, you know, accepting the fact to go on the practice squad. We just saw four Seahawks do it here on defense in the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, if he's willing to do that, maybe whatever Bruce said is wrong. Not that Bruce has ever said anything that has countered what turned out to be true or turned out to end up happening. But, hey, I'm rooting for it, because at least as long as he doesn't come to Seattle.
You're not alone in that, John.
But here's the weird part about this. On the football side of it, it's almost the same thing here as Seattle, because, you know, we're watching DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett emerge as one of the top wide receiver duos in football. Well, consider currently the top wide receiver duo is Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. All right. And Bruce Arians is in a pure two tight end offense. I mean, he used to have OJ Howard, but he's out for the season on injured reserve, Achilles injury. And so now they have Gronk and they have, Cameron Brate. And so, you know, when that happens with the two receivers on the field at the same time, the tight ends don't get the ball. So now are they going to switch away and go to a three-receiver offense, or what are they trying to do? Regardless, again, it's not like he's going to come in here and play in the next 2 weeks. That's not going to happen. But, let's root for, Brown to go to Tampa Bay.
Well, yeah, I agree. What's your interpretation, John? Because there was, after the first game, something that was maybe between Brady and Arians. What's your interpretation of their relationship? You said, Tom won the battle there, but how would you portray it?
Well, again, he won a tempting, because he's got the guy coming in for a workout and a visit and go through COVID testing, and so that goes in. But, here's the interesting thing, too, and I guess I don't know if it's a matter that Bruce is adjusting to Tom or Tom is adjusting to Bruce, but remember what Bruce said boldly in the offseason. It had nothing to do with Antonio Brown as far as the COVID testing. Everybody's going to get it. I mean, all players are going to get it. So it's like, have them all get it and get it through their systems and all that stuff. And it's like, there's a real bold statement. And then he came out this week, and I don't know if it's a matter because of Tom Brady didn't shake hands with Nick Foles. And he says, no, I don't want my players on the field shaking hands. I want them to come off immediately, come into the locker room. Well, if they're out there, it's like now you've changed 100%, because, I mean, you didn't care if every one of your players got COVID's positives, and now it's a matter of, like, let's change the story and let's go with the idea. It's like, oh no, we want to, we don't want you to socialize and be on the field after the game. Go straight to the locker room.
Hey, John, we got a quick update here. Adam Schefter tweeted a minute ago, Antonio Brown and the Bucs have reached agreement on a one-year deal per sources. Language still to be finalized. COVID protocols passed, but Brown is likely to make his Bucs debut in week 9 against the Saints.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great?
No more questions about Antonio Brown, Joe.
This is a great, great situation. We are loving this. I mean, we've hit the big time. No more Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, that's good news for the Seahawks, isn't it, John?
It is from my looking at it, yeah. I mean, again, it's like, you know, Russell Wilson did want him for the talent, and, you know, they've been developed a friendship and all that stuff. And sure, it's nice to be able to have all this stuff going on with talent, but I just think this team is still better served with what they got going on right now with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, certainly with you know, David Moore and everything that they have at wide receiver.
John, Dante Pettis celebrating his 25th birthday today with Kyle Shanahan informing him that the team is shopping him. Why are they doing that?
Because he's been terrible. That's why. I mean, it's like every time they've wanted him to do something, he's not been able to do it. And so he can't – I mean, it's so bad where – remember, they've had Brandon Ayuk hurt. They've had Debo Samuel on injured reserve. You know, Richie James. I mean, they've had, what, three, four, five wide receivers go down with injuries, and he couldn't step in and do anything. And so, you know, it's expected that they were shopping him because, again, he's been so bad. I mean, what, they took him, what, second, third round? He's been a major disappointment.
Hey, what's going on with Dwayne Haskins? He violated the team's COVID protocols. He made a reservation for a family friend at the team hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just they don't want outsiders around the team? That was the violation, or he's
no, you're not allowed. I mean, even, you know, in league protocol, you know, you have to basically shut yourself into a hotel, not go outside, not have visitors unless it's approved by, you know, the different people that are kind of monitoring all these things, the advocates that are there, because, again, everything's going to be taped and all that stuff. And so, you know, this one is not as bad as the undrafted Seahawk cornerback, you know, who brought the girlfriend into the room wearing, you know, Seahawk gear. but it's still a complete violation because you can't bring outsiders into the environment. And he did that. And so you can tell his days in Washington are numbered. I mean, you know, they're shopping him in a trade. They don't want him, even though the owner does. But I think that you can see that this thing has not worked out. And that was just dumb on his part to do that. And selfish, you know, because, you know, one of the reasons that Ron Rivera benched him and put him down to third team is that, you know, he was getting complaints from the players that he wasn't working too hard. And what Ron, who's very good at reading, because as a former player like himself on the Chicago Bears team, I mean, he knows the locker room. And he knows if you have a problem in the locker room, you better solve it or you're going to lose the locker room. And so that's why he basically, you know, took the position. It's like, Dwayne, you're sitting down. We're putting Trent. We're going to put you know, all these other people ahead of you. You're now third team. Go ahead, sit down. And now, of course, you know, he gets a little bit of sickness. Now, he didn't get COVID, but he was ill because what happens now, well, we see this with Brandon Shell, and if you even got the sniffles, you know, they send you home just in case because, you know, they worry that it can develop into, you know, some kind of a thing. But we're in that cold season right now. And so, but that's the case. But Dwayne, you know, not only did that, but then to violate it like that, selfish and dumb.
Well, and you just touched on what I was going to ask you, and that is the perception of him around the league. When you hear a player being referred to as maybe lazy or not doing the work, especially if you're a quarterback, mm-hmm. that seems like the most damning thing you could say about him. So I know you said they're trying to move him. What could they realistically get in exchange for a guy who was the 15th overall pick in the draft?
I would think it's probably going to be a fifth or sixth rounder, mm-hmm. that low. Now, again, it's like we watched you know, Miami bail out Arizona when they got sick and tired of Josh Rosen, and they were able to work out something with a second round pick and, you know, maneuver some other draft choices and stuff like that. But that's not going to be the same here with Haskins, because you can see a lot of these things now, they come at a discount. And because, you know, it's hard in this league to get anything higher than a third round pick. And sometimes it's more higher than a fourth round pick. And so I'm thinking it's going to be a fifth or sixth round pick, you know, and you're getting him just to put him on the back end and see where he can be as far as maybe learning something for the future. Because at least you'll have him for two more years under the contract if you get him under the trade. And you also, if he does turn out to be good, get the fifth year option. But league wide, nobody's seen enough of him to be able to make too much of a judgment.
John, Arizona just traded to get Marcus Golden back, mm-hmm. With it was just a couple hours ago, I guess. And I'm looking, it looks like he played the game last night. least he was active. He's listed as 7 games. But so Trey, just a couple hours ago, obviously not going to be ready for Sunday, I wouldn't think.
No,
but,
he can't.
But definitely, because he's got to go through the protocol and everything. But anyway, interesting that that now they're trading back for him when he started off in Arizona. What was he, a second-round draft choice, I think?
Mm-hmm, I believe like so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows you that they have to do something for their pass rush, and it doesn't help them this week because, again, he's not going to be available to midweek, you know, particularly with his trade, because you have to be – you're only available in that sixth day. I think even – what was it? I didn't look at his play time last week last night, but he's only been getting like about 16% play time. And, you know, this is even when Lorenzo Carter, one of their starting linebackers, a rookie, I mean, he ends up getting an ACL or an Achilles tear, and so he's out for the season. So they were down one linebacker, and they apparently felt, you know, they'd rather have the draft choice than Golden. And again, these are the things now that we're going to see with the have-nots. You know, the have-nots are going to take the position. It's like, okay, we're out of it. Because, you know, right now the Giants are 1-6, and the only way they can make the playoffs is to, you know, win that 6-win NFC East. And so with that in mind, if you can get something as far as a draft choice for somebody, you make the trade.
Yeah, it looks like he had a sack last night, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Of course, wait a second. Does that count, knowing it's Carson Wentz with the 4 starting offensive linemen down?
What?
Yeah. It still counts.
No, it still counts, yeah. But again, it's like, okay.
Oh, because it was against receivers blocking.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Now, again, I'm sticking up for Carson Wentz on this because he's getting so much criticism. And do you realize by the time he got to the end of the game, you know, when DeSean Jackson, he gets hurt with a high ankle sprain, you know, Lane Johnson gets a first-degree knee injury on an MCL, they were down 4 offensive linemen, their top 3 wide receivers, their starting running back, their 2 tight end sets, and he only had 1 guy, Jason Kelce, that was a starter that was with him on a game against the New York Giants, and yet he pulled out the victory.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
10 quarterback hits, by the way, on him last
night. Oh, yeah.
Night.
I mean, remember the opener? Sacks. The opener, they were down 3 starting offensive linemen, you know, they're 4 of their top 6 on injured reserve, and he got sacked 8 times by the Washington Redskins.
What about Daniel Jones, John? How does he live that down? You know, I felt bad for him. I think we've all felt like Daniel Jones at one time or another in our lives, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, but I think, you know, he probably has a great chance to get an ESPY next year for comedy. I mean, because, you know, to be able to run, you know, from his, 12-yard line and being tripped up by the 20-yard line and not having anybody within 10 yards of him. I mean, to me, and it's fitting he's on a New York team because it reminds me so much of the Mark Sanchez butt fumble. I mean, because it's comical. I mean, it's like it shows you that as talented as he is, the fact that he's able to run as fast as he did, what Next Gen had him at like 21 plus miles an hour, that he just ran out of gas. And so he falls to the ground. Fortunately, he was able to get the touchdown drive ended. But, you know, you look at him and look at the numbers that he's put up, and it's bad. I mean, you know, in his first 20 starts, you know, he's now had 31 turnovers. The only one that tops that is Ryan Leaf, who had 41 in his first 20 starts.
Wow.
Well, you didn't have to bring that up, did you, John?
Yeah, I did, because I wanted to say how bad it was for Daniel Jones.
Okay. Yeah. You know what, John, next time mention that he was a Washington State Cougar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't say that. I just said it was Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. Right. Hey, John, the Raiders are in a situation where their entire offensive line was sent home because of the COVID protocol, and there was some speculation that maybe the game against the Bucs on Sunday might be postponed or moved, and Gruden says, we're going to play Sunday at 1 o'clock, they tell me, and we'll be ready to go. What might that team look like?
Well, it's going to be – they'll have 4 of the 5 starting offensive linemen. I mean, there's still some thought that Trenton Brown may be able to play, but I tend to doubt it because, you know, what it comes down to, and again – each day we find out what the new rules are. And so the new rules are, you know, if you're going to be quarantined because of a close contact with a teammate or somebody with the COVID-19, then you have to, you know, be kind of quarantined for 5 days. Well, wisely, they took the 4 starting offensive linemen who were, I guess, obviously in the meeting with them on Monday and put them in quarantine Monday. Okay, so now because it's Monday, they're eligible to come back off the COVID list, and they can do that tomorrow. And they can play Sunday. you know, unfortunately, and here's where the other one is, whatever happened on Tuesday, you had Jonathan Abrams as safety, starting safety. He ended up being somewhere in contact with Trenton Brown, and so they didn't get a positive test, but they had to put him in the same quarantine. But the fact that it's Tuesday, he's not going to be able to play on Sunday.
All right, John, have you looked at favorite matchup? I'm looking at some good ones here. Monday Night Football, Chicago at the Rams, 5-1 versus 4-2. Of course, the Seahawks, 5-0 versus 4-2. Anything else catch your eyes? Oh, how about the Jaguars at the Chargers? Jags at Chargers.
I think we may pass on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
Upset special, John.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How have those been going, Jim?
Special.
Not well.
You're not doing well in the upsets?
No, I had Dallas +1 the other night against Arizona, John.
Yeah. Hey, you tell me how you're handling this as far as, entering this week, there was 10 teams with one or zero wins, right? And they're going to be your underdogs, right? They're going to be the ones that you're going to be, I'm going to go for that one. And, you know, at the end of the week six, only four of those 10 teams had won a game against a winning team. Four in six weeks. So I can see where the underdog special right now probably is not working this year of have and have nots.
Yeah, the parity thing isn't working out in the NFL this year.
No, it's different. And it's funny because one of the things I've been trying to get to all day and didn't get to is I was going to go through and research the number of 10 double-digit comebacks, right? And I only got as far as the first 3 weeks of the season, and there were 10. And you know what the record is in the first 3 weeks of the season? It's 11. And, of course, when did his 11 happen? In 2011. Okay, what was the similarity? That was the last time there was no off-season program.
Yeah.
Hey, John, the 425 says, Professor, any chance the Seahawks are still actively looking to trade for a quality pass rusher such as Ryan Kerrigan?
I don't know about Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, that it's going to be hard to fit him into the cap, so that might be a little bit too pricey, not as far as draft choice compensation. And Kerrigan's not even starting right now for the Washington football team, so, he would be an option. But, no, I think they're actively looking. And, again, what you need to do, in fact, I'll try to do it over the weekend. I'm going to go through the 10 bad boys and see, what they may have as far as pass rush. I mean, obviously, Garner Minshew's team is not going to offer anything because their best two pass rushers are now in Baltimore, Calais Campbell and Unique Ndokwe, and Jacksonville sitting there with 5 sacks. So, the guy that I thought would be an interesting acquisition is, Camille Correa, but then he ended up getting traded, and so from Tennessee, because he was on a $1.25 million contract. He was really cheap, but guess where he went? Jacksonville.
Hey, John, Bob was asking me yesterday, what coach would you like to play for? And, I mentioned Gruden, Andy Reid, but my number one guy would be Mike Tomlin. I love the way he operates, the way he, treats his players, very straightforward. But you were about to mention that probably the best matchup, though. Steelers 5-0 at the Titans. And how about Mike Vrabel and the coaching job he's done? Yeah.
Although I think he's going to lose an offensive coordinator, because Arthur Smith right now has done such a phenomenal job with Derrick Henry and with Ryan Tannehill that I can't imagine he has to get a head coaching job. He has been on fire. I mean, 15 games for Tannehill, almost 4,000 yards, 35 touchdown passes, and almost 70% completions. Derrick Henry now leads the league in rushing. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job. Now, we'll see how the adjustments are going to be without Taylor Lewan, because he's out with an ACL injury for the season. And Pittsburgh's, they're going to blitz like crazy. They're a 50-50 team as far as blitzing or not blitzing, and so that will be that's going to be a great game.
Okay, John, we have the feel bad story with Antonio Brown going to Tampa Bay, signing with the Buccaneers, but you see the feel good story out of Tampa Bay.
I thought that
Professor?
Was a feel good story.
I thought it was a feel good story too.
I thought it was feel good.
Well, it's a feel bad if you're a Buccaneers fan, but if you're a Rob Gronkowski fan, I love this story, John. They named a baby rhino at the Tampa Bay Zoo Gronk after Rob Gronkowski, and on top of that, Gronk went to the zoo to meet his namesake, Professor. How cool is that?
That's cool. That's cool. And see, that's the other thing that irritates. I mean, again, I'm just happy that Antonio Brown's out of the conversation here in Seattle. But the guy that's going to be affected by that more than anybody else is going to be Rob Gronkowski. Because, I mean, you've seen it here in the last several weeks. If they're taking on the Seahawks or even Tampa Bay, a team that, because, again, both are two tight end teams. I mean, right now Tampa's like the second or third team is using two tight ends. You know, Seattle's somewhere like about 10 or 11, but they've doubled the two tight end sets from last year. But when you have two good receivers like the Seahawks do, that takes away the pass catches from the tight ends. And so now Gronk, you know, he may have to go to the zoo to just have any activity other than blocking.
And, Professor, there's exciting news for you tomorrow.
Oh, that's great news. I mean, how about the fact that, and it is this great news, I think, overall for everybody. I mean, I get the one-hour addition to the show, so I can now go from 8 to 10 taking phone calls, and I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy that Seattle Sports Saturday is going to come back. He has not been there since March, and so, you know, Curtis Rogers and Taylor Jacobs are going to be hosting that. Then, you know, we still have the you have one tomorrow for the golf show?
The golf show at noon.
Yeah, we got the golf show at noon.
What a lineup.
Well, how about this? It's like, and then you have, there's a Cougar show right after you, right?
Yeah. Cougar football Saturday from 1 to 3.
Yeah, Cougar. And so there's 2 hours of that. Then they're going to, oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so then you have that. And then I know that they're going to rerun Huddle, and they're going to rerun some of the things during the week. And so it's going to be live or taped local all the way from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
John, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, if you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, Dave sat down with the coach for the Pete Carroll Show on our sister station, Cairo 97.3 FM, this morning. We're going to let you hear what they talked about coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. You can download it for free. Take us with you wherever you go. You never want to be without us. Or you can listen to the podcast on there, watch the video stream, text. All the good stuff is there for you. So download that app if you don't already have it. Meanwhile, our very own Dave Wyman, the second best color analyst in all of the NFC West, sat down with the head coach Pete Carroll for the Pete Carroll Show on our sister station, Cairo 97.3 FM, this morning. And I want to play that conversation for you right now.
Coach Pete, congratulations. 5-0 for the first time in franchise history, and certainly in a very challenging environment. And the first thing I want to ask you is about how proud you are of your staff and your players, especially with the bye week and the landscape of the COVID-19, how you guys have handled that so well.
Yeah, Dave, it goes even beyond, you know, there's so many people that have contributed to making this work and continue to have to do stuff. You know, we've got people around us now that, you know, they've never been here before, the people that test us, the people that monitor everything. It's just been, we've had a lot of people from the stadium crew over there helping us here. It's just taken a lot of focus time. Sammy Ramsden has done a great job. Matt Capurro has done a great job to help us administer and keep on track. And then it's just been a diligence, you know, about it. And the players have taken to it. The coaches have taken to it. And we're just trying to do it one day at a time and just keep on taking on the challenge. And so it's very, very much a mental challenge. And this is all, everything I'm talking about referring to is all in addition to what we normally do football-wise, you know. And so I am really proud. I'm proud of what's going on, and I'm hoping we can just keep holding the line. There's only a few teams that haven't had a positive test, and we're just trying to put it off. And if it does happen, we're going to respond really, really crisply, and hopefully, you know, keep it to a bare minimum and move ahead.
Now, as far as the bye week goes, Coach, how do you approach that? As far as, obviously, you're going to get some guys healthy and things like that, but also just as far as your team, like who you are, where you're going, are you self-scouting? What were you able to figure out by looking at your film and for the first five games going into the season?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. You know, we first off, we take advantage of the time to get back to the best health we can get back to. Guys get fresh legs. The practice this week, guys were really humming. You know, they were really flying around and all. You could tell that the little break makes a difference. We go back to total self-scout. We reevaluate everything from A to Z in all phases of our game to try to see, you know, tendencies that are showing up that we'd like to alter, things that we'd like to enhance with you know, play off of the tendencies, scheme-wise, you know, additions to stuff. We look at it like it's another start to camp in a sense try to convey that to the players and know that everything we've already done is behind us, you know, and it doesn't make a difference now is what are we going to do about it, the next steps that we take. So really try to refocus and get back to business.
I want to ask you a little bit about your relationship with Russell Wilson. My favorite scene last year was after the Monday Night Football overtime win against San Francisco, when you and Russ kind of rushed the field and you were kind of grabbing each other's shirts and celebrating. And I love that. I feel like you guys have kind of grown together. It's almost like you guys say pretty similar things. You think the same thing, it seems like. And just talk about how that relationship has developed in his ninth year in the league.
Yeah, well, it has been a real relationship, and he's been such a joy to coach and to work with. He's such an extraordinary competitor, and everything he does is directed at trying to be as good as he can possibly be, and he never lets up. You know, there's just no let up. He hasn't changed one bit since the day he got here in terms of how hard he's willing to work and all that. It's just been a joy, and then also the fun to watch him play and see what he does. There was a moment in our locker room after the game the other night that he's on the field getting the final interviews, post game, and we're waiting to do our celebration in the locker room. And when Russ made it through the doors and came, kind of crossed that threshold, the whole team rushed to him, just to celebrate with him and to show their care and love for him and all that and gratitude. That was a really cool moment. It's just been a great process. It's been a real growing together, and I respect the heck out of them, and we really do have a really deep and long-standing relationship.
Yeah, it's funny, early on, like, he used to say things, like, in his second, third year, like, failure is not an option. And I'd be like, Russ, this isn't like a movie. Like, are you serious with that? But then you see, that's exactly who he is. I love that about
that's right.
him. Yeah, so. Yeah, but I mean, he's always been very genuine, but he's also opened the doors for guys like Kyler Murray, who you're going to face this week. And, a guy like that, maybe if Russell hadn't had the success that he's had, shorter quarterback, guy that can run a little bit, but has developed into a really, really good quarterback. And so, two questions here, what about Russ and sort of the leadership that he's sort of made for some of these maybe undersized quarterbacks, guys that can run a little bit. And then also, Kyler Murray, how do you defend him? I guess you just kind of look at Russell tape and fairly similar players, it seems like.
Yeah, I really believe that there is a responsibility that Russ has carried, with him in his play and his style and the way he's handled himself and all, that has led the way for other players and for the league to realize that guys that run the football can fit into the league. And everybody used to talk about they'll all get hurt and they won't be able to make it. Well, that's not really the case. Russ has, been really a durable player. And I think you're going to see Kyler Murray, who really knows how to take care of his body and avoid the hits and all. He's going to be able to do it too. And we're seeing Lamar Jackson do it and run with a great abandon, and there's just a bunch of quarterbacks that have really come to the league that I think have followed suit with Russ. Russ wasn't the first guy, but he was kind of the first guy in the new wave of players. I don't know that Kyler would have been the first guy in the draft, had Russ not had all his success and opened up the kind of the potential for a smaller guy to be effective. So it's pretty cool relationship he has, and he's been very meaningful to the league.
So in 1989, back when I actually was a linebacker that could run, we opened up with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I was supposed to spy Randall Cunningham, coach, and
good luck.
It didn't work. It did not work at all. I'm still looking for him. He ran for forever. does that get done anymore? Because a guy like Kyler Murray, he's so athletic. I mean, I saw Rasheem Green take him down in the open field last year, which I thought was really impressive. Got a sack on him. But I mean, is that how you handle a guy? How do you defend a guy like that?
Well, yeah, really, to finish the answer to your first, the other question is, how do you deal with him? He has he's got a unique suddenness to him, that he can get to top speed so quickly and has a great burst that you really have to hopefully match him up with guys that can make the play on him, And so that means we've got to, keep our eyes on him whenever we can and make sure that we do the things we can do rush wise. You can try to contain him, but then he just runs around you. If he wants to go, he goes, kind of thing. So, it's way harder to do than it is to talk about it. You can put a spy guy or you can do these things in coverage and stuff, but shoot, you got to do it all and you don't know when it's going to happen. David, he's averaging 11 something a scramble, every time he takes off, he makes 11 yards. So, and he's had some plays, he's had 30s and 40s and he had a 55 yard or whatever it was. He's had some really long plays too. So It's a variety of things that you got to do, and we just got to hopefully make the tackles when we get our chances.
Coach, maybe some real quick injury updates. But before that, I want to ask about a player that you described as being unusual, and that's Quentin Dunbar. And I watched him in the Atlanta game. He plays the run really well. I mean, he has great instincts on the perimeter, and it seems like he's really good in zone. Talk about exactly what you meant by him being unusual.
Well, he's unusual in that he has a tremendous awareness that he can draw on, meaning that he can see a lot. You know, if you just put him and let him press play man-to-man, then you can really only see the guy you lined up on. But when he plays zone and he plays off and mixes his looks and all, he can take advantage of the action of the quarterback, the look of the quarterback, the complementary routes that are inside, and he can process all that stuff. Not everybody can do that. The last guy that's been really good at that was Richard Sherman. Richard was phenomenal at being able to utilize all of his wits to make decisions and to make choices in how he played. I had a guy a few years back just became a Hall of Famer, Ty Law, back in New England, that was a guy that played just like that too. And you know, they have instincts and awareness that they can calculate and make sense of and take advantage of things. And so that's really what he does. The other thing you mentioned about Quinn is he's really tough and he tackles really well. I think he was 100% tackler last year in the season a year ago. So he does make his hits. So he's a really fun guy to coach. We've been just kind of working him back in, trying to get his knee right so he can play regularly, and hopefully he'll be able to contribute.
Yeah, and just lastly, Coach, any updates as far as injury? Jamal Adams, Jordan Brooks, Carlos Hyde, and then, of course, Quentin Dunbar.
Yeah, the guys are all in different kind of settings, you know. Jordan Brooks has had a really good week of practice and was able to do a lot. Quentin's had partial work in practice. We'll have to wait and see. We have not been able to get Jamal back on the field yet. He's really close to being back. He's working really hard and doing everything he can possibly do. So there's guys all in different schedules, and we'll just kind of have to wait the week out and see how it goes here.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate the time, and good luck down in Arizona, and here's to 6-0. Go get them. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Dave, it's always good talking to you. Appreciate you.
There you go. Pete Carroll, the head coach, on with our very own Dave Wyman this morning on our sister station, Cairo 97.3 FM, and obviously we got a little bit of clarity as it pertains to Jamal Adams. He will not be playing this weekend along with Mikey Potty, so little update there since the conversation. Meanwhile, what do the Seahawks have to do to leave the desert with a win? We'll give our Seahawks win-if scenarios coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you got a radio in your home. If you've got a smart speaker, just tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. It becomes a radio right there for you. We got mean texts coming up to end things. We're going to turn you over to game 3 of the World Series coming up about 10 after 5. But before that, we'll get to your mean texts. So if you've been aching to hurt our feelings, say awful things to us, you can text those into 710-710. The Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, that's coming up next. But we'll play the traditional game of Seahawks win if. Dave, let's start with you. They win if
what? Okay, I'm going to go with 3 takeaways. And that's, you know, look, he's thrown 6 interceptions, has Kyler Murray. But, you know, it's going to be difficult the way this defense is playing right now. You're going to have takeaways. I mean, it's going to be a slow fix, I believe. So I feel like they're pretty aware of some of the things that need to be done. But, man, you know, they're living right now on the takeaways and the big plays. And the takeaways are something you can more get your hands around. Like, you can control that. You can, you know, have tight coverage. You can have good pressure that causes bad throws, like in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
The big plays and key moments, that's the other thing they've lived on. I just don't know that you can necessarily control that. You know, I mean, those things just, they happen and you're like, you're happy about it. And wow, that was huge. That was a clutch play. But I mean, it's not a stat, you know,
yeah.
And it's not something that you can, you know, really work on other than just fly to the ball. But that's also how a lot of turnovers, you know, come about, but just by hustling. But I'll say the 3 takeaways. And what are they? Number 2 or 3, I think, in the league as far as takeaways Yeah, they're third with 10. And then their turnover ratio is plus one. But I'm going to say this is going to be a tough game to win, and I think they're going to have to go plus three in turnover ratio.
Yeah, I think you have a good shot at that, Dave, because I was looking at it. They've got 10 takeaways in five games, so averaging two a game. So not that much of a stretch to think that Murray might throw a pick or two. He threw three in one game against the Lions. So, yeah, I like your first Seahawks win if here.
What is yours, Jim?
Jim's just going to like mine. Oh, thanks, Jim.
Everything like you said, Dave, I've got that.
I've got the Seahawks winning if they hold Kyler Murray under 62 rushing yards and Kenyon Drake under 79 rushing yards.
I'll see you hit. Well, go ahead.
Well, the reason I picked those two numbers, that's what they're averaging. Murray is averaging 62 yards and Drake at 79. And so I'm not looking for, you know, to be a bold taker like, you know, the midday show or anything. This is just, you know, I'm going with something reasonable. That might actually happen. And so, yeah, yet it's a little bit of a reach when you think about the Seahawks and Minnesota rushing for over 200 yards. You thought, boy, once Cook goes out of the game, they're going to be okay. But Madison ran for over 100 too, so it's going to be a tough one. And then Pete Carroll mentioning 11 yards per scramble for Kyler Murray this year. So it's a tall task, but I think they could maybe do that. And if they do, they should win.
I think if they can score more than 24 points, they win. I don't know that I can rely on anything with the defense. I could say, well, if they keep Murray in check and force him to throw the ball rather than running the ball, those are all, you know, lofty dreams based on the way this offense is or this defense has performed. So I'm putting it on the offense. The second best defense in terms of points allowed belongs to the Arizona Cardinals at just over 18 per game. So if they can do that, if their offense is averaging 27.7, which isn't as good as the Seahawks. Seahawks are number one in the league at just under 34 points a game. But if they can score over 24, so come in below their average, but decidedly over the average that the Cardinals are allowing, I think they can get the win. I'm putting everything on the shoulders of the offense until I can see the defense really. I mean, I'm not going to ignore the big plays. They've made big plays when they've needed to. They're undefeated. But they've got to give me something more consistent to be able to count on and rely. And as you said, Dave, I don't think it's realistic to rely on the big play. Hey, we're gonna give up things all over the place, but when it really counts, that's when we're gonna buckle down and get it done. I think that only happens so often. So I'll put it on the offense. 24 points or more, they're gonna win.
Yeah. How about if they make those big plays earlier on?
That'd be cool.
Doesn't have to be the last play of the game or fourth down or yeah. But you look at the defense, and that's why you know I look. That's just what they've lived on. Is the takeaways. And it's such an indicative stat. It is when you look at, you know, the win-loss records of the teams that have positive turnover ratio versus negative, which makes sense, right? I mean, you know, if somebody's minus four and you're plus six, that means, you know, you're getting lots of extra drives and, you know, they're giving you extra drives. But that's something that I think you can at least work at. Sometimes it's luck, though. Sometimes the ball bounces the right way, the wrong way, whatever. But until further notice, it's not going to be anything other on the defense for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, that you picked, and you're right about Arizona. And that's the disturbing part is they're going to play them twice in the next 5 weeks, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you've got the Rams coming up here pretty soon, and
Buffalo,
you know, Niners decent. You know, Buffalo's decent defense, you know, pretty good. But man, you know the Cardinals. You mentioned the scoring. You know, number two in the league, they're really good in the red zone. They're defensively, I think they're second with like 40%. So they're bending and not breaking. So it's lots of field goals, not a lot of touchdowns down there, defense.
Quickly, before we get to the break here, we going to see something weird? Is this going to be an Arizona game? Or do you anticipate something odd or just an odd game of a missed chip shot field goal? Or I don't know, just something that lends itself to the Arizona mystique.
Yeah,
I'll say no.
Going to happen.
I'm going to say no. Jim, what about the weather?
I checked that out, Dave. It's supposed to be 87 for a high on Sunday, but
get your fluids.
It's an indoor game, though.
Well, yeah, well, okay. Oh, good.
That's they
good.
Slide the grass in and out, though.
Yeah, yeah, they do. All right. Well, hopefully that grass will move. It should be moved in and out of there. I'm anticipating nothing out of the ordinary. So we'll see if they can buck the trend. All right, coming up, Mean Text. You got a few minutes left, so 710-710 is the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. If there's something awful you've been trying to say to us or want to say to us, just be creative with it. send it in. Mean text coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
All right, coming up in a few minutes, we'll turn you over to Game 3 of the World Series. But as we do every Friday, Dave's already laughing, we get into mean texts. Now, throughout the week, you guys will text in things to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Hurtful, insulting, mean, which is fine. We're all thick-skinned here. As long as it's creative, that's all we ask of you.
253 says, does Dave have any great stories from when he played football? No.
I like that you did it in that voice, too.
No great stories, 253. Just my stories.
I think they've come through as we've gotten here, as we've gotten towards the end of the show. Amora, have you been able to find some gems in this?
Yes, they definitely did pretty well down the stretch during the break here.
Okay. What do we got?
First up, 253, taking Jim's pick seriously is like starting a diet during the holidays. It's a nice thought, but always leaves you feeling bad about yourself.
Oh, Jim.
Hey, come on now. In the in the past, the 253 or whoever that was is right, but I'm 4-1 this year. Not only straight up, but against the spread. Okay?
How are you doing on your upset specials?
How's well, not well.
Going? Not so good?
Okay. Not well. I couldn't come up with one this week.
You don't have one?
Well, I kind of like the Texans in 3.5 against Green Bay. Let's go with that.
You like the what's the spread again?
3.5.
The Texans upsetting Green Bay.
Correct.
Texans. Oh, really?
That feels like a bad choice. Well, but hey, maybe.
Well, Aaron Jones might not play.
I'll tell you, Tampa made him look. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was flustered.
Yeah, he was. 2 picks and 3 pass attempts.
Yeah, and including a pick six.
Holy I like smoke. The Texans with the coaching change.
Yeah. Okay. What else
we got? Romeo Crennel there?
Yep.
Yeah.
What else we have, Maura?
253 says, based on how much intelligent input is offered by each host, this show should be renamed Bob, Dave, and Less.
Oh.
Or we could just take an O out of the last word.
And more.
Hey, Bob, is that a courtesy laugh, or do you really think that's funny?
I thought it was kind of funny.
Okay. All right.
Maura thought it was funny.
Yeah, she picked it out, Jim.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're not enthused by that one.
I'm just weighing out whether I should use a filter with my next comment toward Bob. And Dave, I think I'm going to use it.
Okay, go get him. Go get him, Jim.
No, filter is activated.
You sure about that?
Yeah, well, no.
I don't know. I think it might be interesting.
So why is he wants to, Maura picked it out and read it, and so he wants to take a shot at me. This is how Jim works. It's beautiful.
No, a good defense is a good offense, isn't it?
You
the
laughed.
Best defense, a good offense.
Oh, I made the mistake of laughing.
Okay. How did mean text turn into you guys being mean to each other?
Yeah, Jim. Well, I think Jim's getting a little.
Yeah, we should be sticking. Listen, we should be sticking together right now.
You're under assault.
We are.
Yeah, it's us against the texters here. What else do you have, Maura?
425 says you guys make Collinsworth sound smart, and that's hard to do.
Oh.
Oh, hey, whoa. That's below the belt.
Do people not like Collinsworth?
Yeah, he seems to be a popular punching bag for a lot of people.
Why?
He's a bit of a know-it-all.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind him. Broadcasters I have a hard time really getting into. They become white noise in the back. I'm just so dialed into the game. I don't really hear it.
You know, I'm really proud of. I have a picture somewhere of me horse collar tackling Chris Collinsworth.
Really?
Yeah.
That yeah, probably was tough to do. Collinsworth in his day, he was a heck of a receiver.
Well, he couldn't run.
Did you hurt him?
I did hurt him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he was kind of shaken up afterwards.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What else we get more?
509 says the Seahawks win if they score more points. Duh, knuckleheads. Was this genius segment Bob's idea?
Ooh.
Ooh. Ouch.
Sign Jim Moore.
No.
Yeah, that was one of the funnier things Jim did. He texted into the line from his cell phone sitting yeah. over there.
I've done that a couple times.
And he was egging me on.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there
trying to prompt back, you.
And then Jim came over and showed me the text that he sent from his phone. That was well done, Jim.
Yeah, something to do with Ray Lewis.
It was something about Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Somebody was convinced that he was a murderer and had gotten off a charge. And so
yeah, that was Jim.
I texted in, I can't believe Wyman supporting a murderer. Or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Can I read this one? 253, maybe it's the same guy. He says, when you're doing post-game Q13, stop looking at the camera. Have a conversation with the guy who's asking the question and stop trying to steal my soul through the TV screen with your death stare. Wow.
You locked in, Wyman?
That's not a death stare. That's a Brook Trout look. It's like, huh?
Deer in headlights.
What am I talking about? Yeah.
How hot is it there with the lights and stuff? Because I saw it looks like there's fans on.
Oh, when?
The TV lights.
Last night?
There's fans on. What do you see? Their hair blowing?
I have
or
my
something?
Fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a fan that I bring every time.
A personal fan?
Yeah. And Dave Reese, our producer, just the other day, I showed up with a big bag, and he's like, oh, what's in the bag? I'm like, what do you think's in the bag? A picnic lunch? It's my fan, because I get sweaty.
Yeah, Dave used to bring it when we would do the Seahawks. What were they calling it then? When we do the thing
the
out of Joey's?
Huck thing. Yeah,
I can't remember what we were calling it then. But anyway, you'd come walking in with your fan. Yeah. That's when you had a sling on. He had his one arm in a sling, the other arm carrying a fan, trying to fight his way through the crowd to get up to the stage where we'd be just roasting under those lights.
I know. And that was back when I used to really like to drink. So, yeah, I was really hot. That's a joke. It's not funny. I had a surgery on my shoulder. But those lights are really hot.
Yeah, we were cooking in there.
We should squeeze in one more. We're almost done here. But 253 says, Bob, did you get your black belt? Because it's difficult to apply a choke hold to someone whose tiny head keeps slipping out of their arms.
Bob was able to. He was an escape artist.
That's right. They just couldn't get tight enough around my tiny little head. Kept getting out of there. Yeah. And then they said, well, I guess you get your black belt then. Since nobody can choke you.
That texter added nothing but love.
That's fine. I've got a tiny head. I know that.
It sounds like something Booger Beard would say. About our guy there? We haven't heard from him.
Oh, we played a video of him when you were gone. He did one for Jim.
Yeah, nice. I did.
Yeah, did a little yelling at Jim at the very end. So that was an honor for the go-to guy, right?
Yeah, I was. I was honored. Yeah.
All right. Is that all of them, Maura? All right. I want to thank our guests today, Demarius Randall, John Clayton, and Ron Wolfley. If you missed any, and Pete Carroll, by the way, if you missed any of that, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button. Click on our picture. It's all right there for you. By the way, this week's edition of Get in the Cage features the former UFC lightweight champion of the world, Jens Pulver, joins me for a conversation that's brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. You can get that there as well. We're going to send you to the World Series game number 3, Walker Buehler. For the Dodgers, Charlie Morton going for the Rays. Coming up, it's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. They got it.